Welcome back to the program. Joining me for the next hour, actor, stuntman, paranormal adventurer Rick McCollum joins me to recount a chilling supernatural set of encounters from Scotland and his other experiences, from haunted castles to unexplained phenomena. Rick's tales are as thrilling as his career. He has been a friend for a while. He is one of the investigators of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters team, and he joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Rick, great to catch up with you again.
Hey, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Scotland, listen, you and I, we love to travel the world. We get a chance to go all over, see amazing places, get to really kind of dig deeper into the histories than a lot of people will find on their normal travels. And when I saw that you've got some stories from Scotland, I thought this would be a great night to kind of sit back, relax, and share some experiences. So what happened to you, and how recent was this?
Well, it was last June. I was out with some friends of mine, Kat Hobson, who I think you know from another show. And we went to Scotland to look around. I actually started my own tour because I wanted to show them a lot of stuff they didn't get to see when we went on a different tour. And I also happen to be a member of Scottish Paranormal, which really helps at getting into some places that I might not have gotten in before. But two of the most amazing things ever, and I've been doing this for a long, long time.
And I'm just, we're getting kind of a hollow sound that's getting more echoey on your voice. I don't know if it's switched to speaker or handheld, but if you can switch back to one or the other, we're getting just a faraway hollow tune, and I want people to be able to hear you.
Well, that'd be good. How's this sound?
Much cleaner. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyway, we got over to Scotland, and I was taking different places. And there's a place called Balgoni Castle, which is by far my most favorite place to ghost hunt. And the weirdest thing is, the laird of the place, the very first time I met him, he instantly bonded with me. I've never had that happen to me in my life, especially for a guy as high up in the atmosphere as he is.
Right.
You know, he's just an amazing man. And he just took an immediate liking to me, and we just became great friends. Well, he passed away not too long before we went back. And the weirdest thing happened is we were part of this group. We were, doing this for a hunt that they were promoting. And we went down into a room that I'd never been in. And in this room was where the he was actually the laird of the building, where he had built all of this stuff. He was an amazing artisan with woodworking and leatherworking and everything else. So we were inside this little museum area where he had done a lot of his work, and we put up everything that could possibly light up or make sounds, trying
right.
to.
All the different all the different bells and whistles from all the different paranormal equipment out there.
Oh, you name it, it was in there. Well, what actually happened was I sat down and I was introduced to everybody. And I started saying, are there any spirits in here with us? And I've never in 50 years had anything like this happen. Every single thing went off full power all at the same time. I mean, and there was like 8 pieces of equipment, all flashing full power. Everybody's K2 went to 5 lights and stuck. It froze. I have never seen anything like that. And I was sitting there and I said, now, this has to be somebody that really knows paranormal equipment, right, for this to happen.
Right.
And I look at my friends and they're all looking at me like, you know, you're kind of dumb sometimes, right? And I just went, wait a minute, it's the laird, right? And then right. all of a sudden, we started getting more, able to communicate more with him. But I have never seen anything like that. As a matter of fact, the way Kat described one of the things, she turned around and the one REM pod wasn't too far from her. And she says, I swear I have never seen anything like that. She says, it looked like fireworks going off. So, I mean, just the amount of how hard this hit us and everything at the same time.
Now, do you feel in a situation like that, Rick, when you're surrounded, you're in a highly active location, all the equipment is responding, do you feel anything physically, like, you know, aside from just what you're witnessing and seeing, but do you feel anything that's taking place in the room?
Oh, yeah. I usually feel when I walk into a place, I can usually feel if there's anything going to happen or not. But this one was just so overwhelming. I mean, my hands were shaking with, you know, like adrenaline. I mean, it was just...
This is coming from a stuntman and a stunt coordinator on some of the biggest movies out there. So you've had that adrenaline rush before, but this is something entirely different.
Yeah, well, the thing that was really getting to me was the fact that my friend came back to say goodbye. I mean, that hit hard, yeah. You know, and it hit really nicely, too. So, I've never seen anything like that. All the other people with us kept saying, God, we've never seen anything like this in our life. So
it's weird, too, because when you're overseas, right, when you go to these castles, these historic sites, the way that the people there treat the spirit realm with a different type of reverence, understanding, and respect, and they get different types of responses. When we were in Scotland a decade ago, we were doing an investigation, and there was a local team that was leading the investigation at the castle for us, and they were going to do table tipping. And at this point, I rolled my eyes because, you know, I've heard of all the old Victorian table tipping and the charlatans that are running it and how they do it. And of course, it's got to be kind of a three-legged table that's a little off balance. And it just seemed like shenanigans. And the three women that were helping to run it all had their fingertips on the table. They're all standing up. They invite our group over, and about five other people go up and put just their fingertips, and they start asking questions. And for about 5 minutes, nothing. And then one of the women start pleading. She's like, please, come on. Let's show these people what's going on. Show them what you're able to do. And the table started to rock. And my buddies and I are looking at each other, side-eyeing. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And the table, after a while, is spinning so quickly that all of them are having trouble keeping their fingers on the table as they're running in a circle. And wow. I'm like, wow, this is that's a little bizarre. And then she gets it to calm down, and she goes, did anybody else want to try this? So I nudged my friend Eric, and he goes over to the table. And I said, when it starts moving, put your fingers, push it down. Stop it, because then you're going to tell which side is being pulled, who's trying to manipulate the table. Keep an eye on their thumbs. Are they dropping their thumbs under the table? And he went up there, and that thing started spinning like mad again, and it was almost galloping in the room. And he came back to me, and he goes, Dave, I can't explain that. He goes, I cannot explain that. He goes, I could not. I was pushing it down with all I could in my forearms, and it was bucking to the right, to the left, up, down. There was no way to control it or figure out who was controlling it. And then the three ladies lifted their hands off the table, and it continued to spin while the other people, our people, had their fingers on it. So suddenly I could remove them as being the catalyst of manipulating it and pushing thumbs or knowing how to balance or counterbalance. I've never seen anything like that, Rick. And again, Scotland, they were just so, this is just how we do it. And we get response. And they had some really remarkable back and forth, like this camaraderie with the spirits of the castle. We have to take a quick break. Rick McCullum, our guest for the remainder of this hour. We'll be back with more right here on the Paranormal 360. We're back, spooky Scotland. We're having a little conversation here with our guest, Rick McCullum, about his experiences in Scotland, our traverses around the globe, and some of the strange things we've seen and witnessed. So what was your other strange encounter, Rick, that you had while you were out in Scotland?
Oh, we were in Inverness.
Beautiful.
And I was with Highland Paranormal, and we had gone to this one graveyard. Now, I've got a bum knee. I need a knee replacement. And we had walked 9 miles that day, walking through everywhere we were going out to see things. And one of the things that I really love about Scotland is the reverence that the investigators have, you know, and the way the kindness that they have when they deal with the spirits. I mean, I love that. That's right. One of the things that I really love going back there for. My knee was killing me. I couldn't stand up another 2 feet, and I'm looking around, and I'd been walking all through this graveyard, and I had my K2 meter out. Nothing the entire time for about an hour and a half, not a single blip. And I'm looking around trying to find a chair or, you know, any place to sit down. And I'm like, I can't go any farther. And I look, and right next to me is a gravestone that looks like a coffee table. And I just looked and I said, very politely, I said, I'm sorry, I mean no disrespect, but I can't walk another foot. I need to sit down. I hope that's okay. And there was a girl that was with me. And I sat down, and the instant I touched that thing, the K2 went off all five lights. So I just went, do you want me to get off? And it goes off five lights again. And I said, and I went, please just let me sit here for 30 seconds. I said, my knee is so bad. And it started flickering like on two and three. And then it got to like 30 seconds and it went, bam, five again. And this girl's starting to freak out, right? And I looked over and I said, if you do it again right now, I'll get off. And boom, instantly, five again. And she goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to get off. That's what I promised to do. But I have never had instantaneous full answers the way this happened. I mean, it was instantaneous, full five lights to everything except for when it was going to let me sit there for 30 seconds. But I've never had that. I was so positive that I was actually speaking to the spirit of the man of whose tombstone I was sitting on. I had no doubt about it.
Isn't that weird to you, though, Rick? I mean, you know, okay, old castles, sure. Who wouldn't want to hang out in a castle as a ghost? Hanging out in you know, the old theater you worked in, I could understand that. You're a movie actor, a stunt guy. I could understand you wanting to be there at Universal or at MGM or Warner Brothers Studios, even in eternity. But hanging out with your body as it just decays and disappears, that's the part to me that is the strangest when it comes to hauntings, are the cemetery elements.
Yeah, I generally am not a really big cemetery goer, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, I've gone to several of them in Scotland, the Calton Hill one for one especially, where I had a very strange thing happen there. I found a guy sneaking up on two women and, you know, like 11 at night.
A fleshy or a ghosty?
No, a real guy. As I walked up these stairs, I saw this guy laying on the ground, and I saw up ahead of me about 20 yards, two women, and I see this guy get up, and he starts stalking them. And I stayed behind him and off to the side. He got about 5 yards away, and I went, hey, what do you think you're doing? And he stopped, and he froze, and he turned around. He took off the other direction. And I just told the ladies, I said, ladies, this might be a real good time for me to walk you out.
Yeah, so that's my fear, is being in the cemeteries. It's always the humans that are there that I'm more worried about than the dead. But I'm always just so disheartened that a ghost would hang around with their body. That's not where I want to be, Rick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that there's more to this whole things than I think. And like, when my buddy comes back to say hello to me, there's more than we talk about.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's so much stuff. I mean, you've been around a long time. I've been around a long time, and I've seen so many things, heard people screaming. I've heard, you know, all kinds of things. It's hard to deal with, actually. I mean, you start thinking about saying, what was that? You know,
why is this taking place? What, and is there anything we can do? That's been a big part of it for me is, you know, I mean, I work in prayer a lot, and I try to, you know, help at the end of an experience with doing prayers for the spirits, for the land, for the location, just to try to help anything that might be lost. I have no clue if it works. I'm praying that it works, but it's just so disheartening to me at times because it does feel like, you know, there are so many fractals, so many pieces of our personality that have been left behind at these locations that just seem to be seeking something.
Yeah, it's there's so many mysteries about it. That's what makes us keep going back. And I'm pretty much the same way as you. And as a matter of fact, people have insulted you a lot when I'm around because they always say, you know, you, you actually ghost hunt a lot like Dave Schrader.
I wouldn't take that abuse if I were you.
I was thinking there was more abuse they were aiming at you. So I had to stick up for you. I said, hey, leave Schrader alone.
I'm one of those too. I'm not there for the flash and bang of it. I'm just interested in trying to find the story and find some kind of way to connect with the spirit realm. And I know that you care. You're interested in understanding what's taking place too. I mean, as we get older, it's a fascination. How can we not want kind of a glimpse of what there might be to come?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm getting up into the area where, the sand of my hourglass was getting a lot shorter on the top.
I'll turn off the light. You flip the hourglass. We'll see if we can trick time.
Yeah. Wouldn't hurt. I've had so many things happen to me. If you got time, I can tell you one more quick thing from Scotland.
Yeah, of course. We've got about 3-4 minutes left in this segment. We've got the whole rest of the hour to talk, so feel free. What else happened in Scotland?
I had found out that you can rent a room at St. Andrews at the college, which is much cheaper. It's right in the exact same spot where all the real expensive hotels are. So I actually got a thing in there, and there was one other person on my floor. Now, you can imagine St. Andrew's dorms are huge, right? So there was one guy at the other end and me. There's nobody on our floor, right, other than us two. And I laid down, and just as my head hit the pillow, I heard a lady scream. Now, this wasn't like, oh boy, this was like someone, and I hate to say this, who is being tortured.
Oh.
And I jumped out of bed, and I went running down the hallway listening, trying to figure out where she's at. Couldn't find her, right? And it stopped, and I mean, it was horrifying, just to be honest. It was the most awful sound I've ever heard, and I'll never forget it. But the next morning, I went down to the reception desk, and I asked them, I said, you guys ever hear any screams here? And they said, no, nobody's ever said that. And I was like, oh, well, lucky me.
Right.
But yeah, it's when stuff like that happens, I mean, it's just things that are so far off the charts. It's hard to, it's hard to just poo poo it and say, oh, well, that's nothing.
Right.
But it's
understandable why people are skeptical of it, because obviously you working in Hollywood, movies, TV, they like to embellish or make things a lot scarier than they really are, or really lean into those fear moments, when in reality, a lot of these things are sometimes shocking and awe-inspiring, but very little are they actually frightening moments. It's more like, oh my gosh, something's trying to get our attention.
Yeah, well, I have a very, very protective nature. And as soon as I heard that, man, I was out the door and I'm running down the hallways as fast as my bad knee will take me, trying to find this woman to save her.
Right.
And one of the weirdest things was there's a very famous psychic, and I told her, I said, yeah, I heard something happened in St. Andrews. She goes, how far were you from the stairs? I said, 2 rooms. She goes, that's where they killed her.
Ooh.
So,
yeah. Oh, that's brutal.
And this woman has been dead on in everything she's ever told me. So, I mean, it was like, wow.
Go ahead.
No, and the fact is that in this huge place, there was only 2 of us, and this guy was probably 50 yards away from me, the guy that was there. So, I mean, it was.
Yeah, I love and I'm fascinated with the experience. I love the idea of being connected to history in a way that a lot of people don't even think of, right? We're standing in those footsteps. We're standing in on those same stairs, those same floors where so much has happened. And it's almost like the spirits demand to be heard, demand to be remembered. We'll come back. We'll talk more with our guest, Rick McCollum. He, again, part of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. What has he uncovered and found through his other travels? And what about haunted Hollywood? We'll discuss that when we return right here. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 360. Welcome back to the program. Paranormal 360 is on the air right here every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. I'm your host on this journey, Dave Schrader, and my guest right now is actor, stuntman, and paranormal adventurer Rick McCollum. He is part of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, along with a few other notables. And I'm interested, you get a unique opportunity to see some really cool places that may not be available to others. What has been one of the more haunted Hollywood locations you've had a chance to visit, Rick?
Boy, that is a really good question, and it's one that most people wouldn't think of, because, you know, the usual names come to mind. You know, the Omen House,
right?
You know, David Omen's house is pretty.
The house on Cielo Drive. It's right down the street from where the Manson murders, the Sharon Tate murders took place. And it has been known to be like a repository of spiritual activity. And David Omen believes that Jay and Jay Sebring and Sharon Tate's spirits still frequent his home.
Yeah, we were up there. I took a whole big group of people in my group up there, and we were getting quite a few things from the Frank's box that were, I mean, right on the money. So, but I think the most haunted place down here, and a lot of people don't even know about it, is the Los Angeles Police Museum.
Oh, really?
And that place, they're not allowing ghost hunting in it anymore. But for a while there, we were able to have like one a month that they were charging people to come in. And I mean, that was so haunted. But it gave us a chance to become more hooked in with the spirits there. There was one, the first motorcycle cop that was ever killed on duty was named Walter. And I went down there and started talking to him. And Walter and I became kind of friends. He would respond almost instantly when I would ask for him. And it's a very strange place, but one of the best things ever, a friend of mine, Mikey Thompson, who's a very good investigator, there's a thing there from the North Hollywood shootout where the two guys went crazy and shot 1,700 bullets at everybody around them and ended up getting killed. And it was a robbery at the North Hollywood shootout at the bank there. Well, we decided to try and do something to get them more involved. And there were two mannequins behind glass, and they were wearing the same clothing and had the same weapons as they used during the actual robbery. So we were trying to figure it out. And finally, what we decided was we would play the sound all of a sudden from nowhere of machine gun fire, because that's what they were shooting.
Okay.
And Mikey was looking through the SLS. And for the people who don't know what that might be, that's the one that makes it look like skeletons.
Right. It's a digital camera. Well, it's a video camera that maps you in like a video game system. So if it can see you, it'll show your outline and then shows like a stick figure within. But it also maps things that are unseen. So there are times you will see the outline of a person when you're very clearly looking in the room and there's no one there, and the figure will interact with you.
Yeah. Well, what actually happened is we're looking at this thing and all the people are in the room and SLS is on and nothing. And we hit the thing for the machine gun fire, and both of them instantly, right over the mannequins, had the skeleton figure. And they were moving back and forth, and one of them looked like pushed the other one out onto the ground, out from behind the glass, and started kicking at him, right? Well, later on, we had found out that one of the guys was trying to kill the other guy during the shooting because he thought he was having an affair with his wife. So,
holy cow! This kind of trigger, pardon the pun, but this trigger moment almost like reincited that psychic memory.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it would automatically, if anything, would bring them back to the time when they actually were killed during the robbery, would be that sound, I think. And that's just the fact that we came up with that. And then we got instant response was just amazing. But LAPD Museum was extraordinarily haunted.
Why did they end up pulling the plug, if you will, on allowing investigations? Did they just feel that maybe it was a little too disrespectful, or was it that the ghosts were getting more stirred up by the more attention they were getting?
No, I don't think it really had much to do with the ghost hunting. It was they're rearranging what they do at the police department museum. So it wasn't really anything against what we were doing. It's just that they had taken the girl who was in charge of that, and she had gotten a promotion, so she went to another place, and then they just said, okay, we'll just do this. So, but amazing things happened there. And I will tell you one thing that was so cool. We were doing the Estes method. And there was a young girl, I would say is 14, was with her dad. And they just didn't seem to be hooking up. I mean, they were together, but they were just standing there, and they just, it didn't seem like they were that interested. Let's put it that way.
Right. For the Estes method, it's this method where you're basically listening through headphones to one of the spirit boxes while the other one will ask questions. So you can't hear it, but whatever responses are coming through the spirit box, you're supposed to call out. So when the receiver and the speaker are not connecting with one another, you'll end up oftentimes with nothing really going on during that. So you were getting really no connection between the father and daughter.
No, they were just standing there waiting, just watching what was going on. So I decided to try and get this young girl involved to see if I could get the dad involved too, because they looked like they weren't having much of a good go at being in the museum.
Sure.
So I went down there and I got the girl. I said, would you like to do this? And she goes, yes. And her father had walked into another room. She goes, can you get my dad to watch? So we got her set up. Well, they were setting her up. I went and got him, and he's standing there. And she had one of the most amazing sessions I've ever seen. She was nailing the people that had been murdered, that they actually had all the... See, this LAPD museum has all the evidence from all the high-powered crimes in L.A.
Wow.
Marilyn Monroe, the Mansons, all of them. So there's all kinds of energy in there through this. But this girl had the most amazing thing. And, I mean, it was getting a little frightening. She was getting a little too deep, and I stopped it. But the nice thing was I walked her down the stairs to her dad, and her dad just grabbed her and just hugged her. And he goes, oh, honey, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, score.
That's awesome. When they're able to make that kind of connection and you see that bridge between people happen. That's one of my favorite things to do in live events as well.
Yeah, it was amazing. And she was getting some stuff. They came up there and she was saying there's a blonde woman on a bed. There's two men, and people are going, oh, that's Sharon Tate. I said, no, it's not. Sharon Tate got killed standing up,
right.
And I said, there weren't two men there when that happened. So,
right. Most likely Marilyn Monroe, right?
Exactly. That's right. What I said. I said, that's more than likely Marilyn. So, but I mean, you would get all these things that seemed a little off to the side, and then you would find out that all that stuff is there.
That's pretty cool. It's funny to me how many police stations and fire departments are haunted. I will be out, I go out on the road and I've maybe gone 30 weekends a year doing different events, and I will have people come up to me and, they're like, oh yeah, I work for the local police department. We'll never talk about this publicly, but, and share these little encounters or strange things. As a matter of fact, there was one place in Indiana. They had one cell that was so active that if they had a problem prisoner, they would just put the problem prisoner in that cell for the night, and they would be begging to get out of that cell. And they're like, well, if we put you in a populace, are you going to be a good boy, or are we going to have to put you back in there? They're like, no, get me out of here. I won't make a noise. And they said at first they thought that these criminals were joking or pulling their legs. And he said that one of the cops actually went in and sat in the cell and just was in there by himself. And sure enough, he started feeling something poking him, shoving him. He could hear voices in the cell with him, and he was there with the lights on and could see nothing. So he understood that something was definitely mucking with him and the other prisoners. So I think it's funny that the police are leaning into that fact to keep their prisoners in check. We need to take another quick break. We'll come back one more segment with Rick McCullum, our guest, when we return to the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader. This is my home on WCCO. This is the Paranormal 360. I'll be filling in this week on WCCO in the normal time slots. You can check me out on Tuesday. I'll be on from 9 to noon filling in for Adam and Jordana. Wednesday, I'll be here with you from noon to 3 p.m. filling in for Chad Hartman. So I will be here talking about the normal news, all the strange and regular things that are going on in the world around us. But you can always find me here Sunday nights, 7 to 9, where we discuss all the supernatural. Our guest right now, Rick McCullum from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. All right, Rick, we've got about 5-6 minutes left together here. What's another one of your favorite haunts in Hollywood and California area?
Well, Hollywood doesn't really have that many really good places for ghost hunting, just to be honest with you. I mean, there are other places like Wolf Creek, you know, not Wolf Creek, Glen Tavern Inn, that's up in Santa Paula.
Right,
that's,
sure.
that's pretty haunted. But I find that none of them compare to Scotland. Nothing here compares to Scotland except for the LAPD Museum, because that was off the charts. So
that's strange, right? You would think in a place like Hollywood, there's so many stories, so many people that have come and gone, tragedy befalls. You've got celebrities that have passed and wannabe celebrities that have passed and serial killers. My gosh, you guys have had so many creepy crawlers hanging out in that area. You would think it would be just a ghost fest.
Yeah, but you know what happens with one of the reasons I tried to figure this out myself, why Scotland is always haunted, you know, and other places, like, we know things have happened here in California. But California, because it's always getting bigger and better and they're always rebuilding, that a lot of the stuff that would have been very famous as far as being haunted have been demolished, right? And now in Scotland, you can have things in there from the 1400s. That are still the same as they were back then, like Bannockburn House and, you know, Castle Mangus, you know, places like that. So I think it's just the fact that, you know, during the race to get bigger and better for California, that a lot of that stuff got washed away.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. There's probably a lot of that. Although I know, you know, there's quite a few ghost stories that take in and place in and around the Hollywood sign itself. I had the great luxury of being able to investigate twice at Paramount Studios, which is backed, as you know, right up against Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And to talk to security and docents that work there, talking about the spirits that they'll see walk between the walls of the back lot into the cemetery and back is crazy. And we had all kinds of weird stuff happen there. But since Scotland's in your heart and on your mind, do you have any other stories you want to wrap up with in Scotland before we say goodnight tonight?
Well, I got to tell you, I've been there 13 times, but I would like to be able to put in, I am going to be leading a tour for Secret Ireland Tours in September.
Awesome.
And I'm really looking forward to that, because I had two great things happen at the Hellfire Club and also at Lepp Castle when I was there the last time. And if you don't mind, I'll tell you what happened at Hellfire Club, because it's so interesting.
Yeah, certainly.
A relative of mine was actually a member of the Hellfire Club. And I went in, and they had the Frank's box, and they were talking, and they weren't getting a thing. So finally I said, do you mind if I ask? And I was there with Scottish Paranormal. And I said, yeah, my name is Rick. I'm here to talk. I'm from the U.S. I'm here to talk to, you know, my relative, John Wilkes. And I'm looking over at the people, and it goes, relative? And I went, yeah, I'm your relative, right? I said, my name is Rick. And he goes, hi, Rick, right? And the people that are standing there, their eyes are getting huge,
right?
And I finally said, I have a question for you. This will tell you if you're really my relative. Did you really dress a baboon up like Satan and turn him loose into the catacombs down there, right? And it goes, baboon. Now, you tell me the odds of in 3 minutes getting high Rick, relative, and baboon on the Frank's box. It's got to be incredible. And I looked over, I said, man, that's going to be some really good tape we got off of that. And they said, oh, we're not recording. I'm like,
oh. Never fails, right?
Yeah, but they did. They were nice enough to write about what the first book I did, the only reason I'm really putting this up, I heard an ad on there for St. Jude that you had, you know, on the break.
Right.
And anything that I make off my books, I always send to St. Jude. So
awesome.
But yeah, that is just so cool about some of the stuff that has happened. You know, when I've been around like I said, I've been doing this over 50 years.
Sure. Well, and I've got on today's program guide, for those of you that are listening to the podcast version, there is a link to follow Rick so you can follow him and the trips. How can people sign up if they'd like to go to Ireland with you and investigate and get to see historic and haunted Ireland?
Well, that's Secret Ireland Tours. You can find it online. You can also find it, let's see here, because we will be going to, you know, Lepp Castle. We will be going, you know, to the Hellfire Club and a bunch of other stuff.
Sure.
The best way to going to it would be go to Secret Ireland Tours on Facebook.
Perfect.
Because this has those little QR codes, but I don't really know how to...
Right. So check it out on there. And Rick, I'm sure we'll have it on his Facebook page and the links that we've provided. So if you're interested and you want to get out and investigate and see this for yourself and investigate with Rick from Hollywood Ghost Hunters, please sign up and take advantage of those. I just got to do a trip in October to Ireland with them and had a wonderful time. And it is an amazing country to visit and get a chance to see. Rick, it's always great catching up with you. By the way, check your Facebook Messenger. I sent you a photograph I caught that we caught at Lepp Castle about a year or two ago in daylight. You can see a shrouded figure standing behind our group of people. It's really crazy.
I saw that picture. That picture is actually pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week, kids. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a safe, happy New Year's. I'll be back with you on this program next Sunday right here, 7 to 9 p.m. on the Paranormal 360.